Veni sancte spiritus, veni sancte spiritus.
Joseph and I are in Washington, D.C. for a monumental trip. While we're here, we're going to be filming a documentary with Father Gregory Pyne on the Holy Eucharist, which is fitting because the Eucharist is the pinnacle, the source, and the summit of the Catholic faith, and Washington, D.C. is the pinnacle, the capital of the U.S. government. While we're here, Joseph and I will be exploring one of the most misunderstood topics of our time, authentic leisure.
Whenever I go on mission with my dad, we make it a priority to find a daily Mass. There is something very powerful about going to Mass in different cities and churches. The Church of St. Joseph is unique because it is on Capitol Hill. This is the church where the Catholics trying to be good politicians go to Mass. I make a point to kneel when I receive my God in the Eucharist. I loved that the pastor at St. Joseph's put out a kneeler for people like me. I was very pastoral of him. I liked that a lot. St. Joseph's is a spiritual stronghold for Catholics trying to steer our country in the right direction. I loved seeing a statue of one of the greatest Catholic politicians of all time, St. Thomas More, whose last words should be the motto that every Catholic politician should live by. I die the king's good servant, but God's first.
D.C. is actually a really great place to bring young people. First of all, everything is free, and there's so much to do and see. We have 2 days in D.C. Today, we're doing all the secular stuff.
Change of plans. We need to find a Catholic bookstore. You see, I like Father Pyne, but my friend Jude, let me tell you, he loves Father Pyne. So for his birthday, I was going to surprise him with a signed copy of Father Pyne's new book. But like the genius I am, I left it at home.
When I Googled Catholic bookstore, the first place that came up was the Catholic Information Center. It's legit. They have daily Mass, adoration. Their chapel is absolutely beautiful. I see a statue of Saint Jose Maria, so I'm guessing there's an Opus Dei connection. This place has an excellent selection of books. I highly recommend visiting.
We love to try local restaurants. Think family-owned spots, not big chains. This time we ended up in a small taco place, which was hidden away in a tiny alley. It was small, but had big flavor.
Earlier, we found our dinner in an alleyway, and now we find Jesus, the bread of life, also in an alleyway. Now, this might come as a shock to some people. Touring, visiting museums, these things are good, but this isn't authentic leisure. Leisure is not about escaping work or being entertained. True leisure is a receptivity in the presence of God. It's the creature spending quality time with the Creator. This is so essential to grasp because for Catholics, it's very easy to fill our lives with prayers, devotions, and good religious activity while still not being receptive to what God is trying to say to us. So authentic leisure has two components, a recognition of God's presence and a disposition of receptivity.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." And it's true. You don't realize how tired and burdened you are until after you have spent quality time with Jesus. I remember as a child, we would do a holy hour and I would leave with so much peace. But I didn't realize that I lacked inner peace until after adoration. Today is the day. We are headed now to go visit with Father Gregory Pyne. We have all this gear because we are also going to be filming a future video on the Eucharist, which, while I can't spoil it, is going to be absolutely amazing and like nothing you've ever seen before.
To be clear, I'm not saying to change your devotions, but it is important that we are intentional about our disposition. So, for example, when praying the rosary, we should really make an effort to immerse ourselves in the gospel and to be open to what Christ might be trying to communicate. Prayer becomes true leisure when it is receptive and rooted in God's presence. The Dominicans we're visiting are obligated to pray morning prayer. Lay people don't have this obligation, but there is a great wisdom in setting aside time in the morning for Christ. Finally, authentic leisure can happen anywhere, at home, on a train, at a symphony, in the wilderness. But there is something undeniably special about a Catholic church. If authentic leisure is a receptivity in the presence of God, there is no greater presence on earth than Jesus's real and substantial presence in the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the highest form of leisure.
If it is the case that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, our lives ought to reflect that. It's not just a mere matter of doing the kind of bare minimum when it comes to Eucharistic worship. We should seek to extend or to prolong our Eucharistic worship so that it characterizes the whole of our life. And so it can be simple things like, all right, I'd like to pray in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, whether it's exposed in the monstrance or whether it's hidden away in the tabernacle, to draw close to the Lord, to be in His presence. It's a kind of sign of good faith that we're open to what He has to reveal. Or it may be something like, all right, on days when I don't go to Mass, I'll make a little litany of the Most Holy Eucharist, or I'll do a spiritual communion. So there are ways in which we can populate our lives with Eucharistic devotion such that it doesn't become so much like a chore or a task, but something natural or something supernatural.
It was great meeting Father Pine. Super smart, clearly holy. According to the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas, friendliness is a virtue, and Father Pine has it.
One for my friend Jude for his birthday.
Let's go, Jude, for his birthday.
I give you a book, Dominican Vocation.
Whenever he was happy, his catchphrase was, "This pleases me."
When we find ourselves tasked by our workaday world, or when we find ourselves overwrought by all of the demands of the various people or relationships and interactions, we can sometimes settle for something less. So we need to be on the lookout for false forms of leisure, which are actually a kind of subtle escapism, which are going to lead us down a path which will not so much humanize us as eventually makes us slaves so that we fall prey to addiction.
False leisure is poisonous to vocations. In order for us to hear the voice of God, we need a consistent time in silence. The grace to live any vocation well, to be a man of heroic sacrifice, he must spend time with the living sacrifice. The grace to become like Christ comes from being with Christ. If we prioritize leisure, we will have the grace to succeed at our primary and secondary vocations.
A must-see place in D.C. is the John Paul II Museum. John Paul II was one of the greatest leaders God ever gave our church, and this museum does him justice.
En Cristo Jesús, eres la vida, eres la verdad.
Earlier, I emphasized the creature spending quality time with the Creator. This is important on another level. Parents are creators too. It is essential that we spend quality time with our creatures. Parents provide an image of God for their children. If a parent prioritizes God, the divine life will shine through them. This time is essential, not just for our children to see themselves as beloved, but it's so important for them to see how we live, what drives us, how we respond in adversity and in prosperity.
My mother and father We're just very convinced as to the efficacy of prayer together as a family, fasting for Our Lady's intentions, and Eucharistic adoration. And I recall my father would have a weekly holy hour at one of the local parishes very early in the morning on Sundays. And I used to accompany him. He would reward me with McDonald's afterwards.
In the life of a young St. John Paul II, after Carol Wojtyła's mother had passed away, it was just Carol and his father. One night, Carol couldn't sleep, and he noticed a light flickering from his father's room. He walked in and caught his father on his knees, praying the rosary, in contemplation on the life of Christ. John Paul II later said, "That was a lesson about the meaning of life and manhood, which was forever etched into his heart." Because his father was a man of true leisure, St. John Paul II described his home as his first seminary. Of course, they grow up, they have free will, they will make their own choices. But as parents, we have the obligation and the gift to be an image of our Creator for our creatures. But it all starts with putting God first. We began our trip at the secular capital of our country, and we conclude it at the spiritual capital. The National Basilica is the largest church in North America, and I love me a massive church that gives me back pain trying to look at the ceiling. The Basilica is the nation's preeminent Marian shrine, with dozens of altars for Marian apparitions all over the world. It hammers home the idea that Mary is for everyone. We began this trip among the monuments of men, signs of power, memory, and national identity. These are nice, but those things don't last. They have a beginning, and they have an end. We ended at the monument to the eternal, to the one with no beginning and no end. In the rotunda of the Capitol building, and on the great American seal, there are the Latin words, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. In the National Basilica, in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, we are reminded of a greater unity. We see the words, "Though we are many, we form a single body." And truly, we can only be one in the body of Christ, the Holy Eucharist. I encourage you to read Father Pine's new book on the Eucharist. It's very good. Subscribe so you don't miss the video we came to film with him. And if you are interested in taking your kids to adoration, which I highly recommend, we will include links to videos we made in the description. God bless you, God love you, and we will see you very soon.